episode 106 of Drunk on Comics. I'm going to try to do a time warp and do this again. Alcohol is not in my vodka. Damn it! Alcohol is not in my vodka bulary. However, I looked it up on Whiskeypedia, and I learned that if you drink too much, it might tequila you. That's what I wanted to say last week, and I still can't say vodcabulary.
There you go.
Yeah, yay, I said it.
Wow, that's...
That wasn't even that funny. It was funnier when I had it written down.
I don't even know what to say, but actually, I do know what to say. And it's kind of fitting, because I was thinking about it. Originally, I'm Derek, and you're Tony.
Yes, I am.
So for new listeners, Kevin is still off honeymooning, and Matt is taking care of some other family stuff as well, I think, this weekend. And I was thinking about it, it's actually fitting that it's just you and I. We'd originally had a guest host that was going to come fill in, but it was 2 years ago this weekend when we started this shit.
Was it really?
It was. Yeah.
Wow, time flies.
Yeah, so there's your time warp, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, and the only reason that I can remember that is because I actually put it on my calendar to remind me.
You still have a calendar?
Well, like, on my phone.
Oh.
Yeah.
You got it doing some chimey, like, X-Men.
No.
2 years. Yay.
No, it's just a calendar. So.
Well, then 2 year anniversary, yay, or we can postpone that till next week?
No, we'll go get drunk later.
Okay, that so works for me.
We can start now, but anyway, this is our weekly podcast.
It's our birthday week. We're going to celebrate every night.
It's my birthday. Yeah. This is our weekly podcast where we talk about comic books and, you know, conventions and sometimes collecting and news about the industry. And I think we got some nerdly nuggets of fun in here for you, Tony.
Yay, the nuggets.
I haven't said that one in a long time. I figured today is going to be one of those things where maybe we should just, go back in time and...
Oh, man. I'm not even going to start. I'll let you do all of those things that I know. I'm going to have a checklist here. I'm going to take a shot every time you say something that I'm figuring you're going
to
say.
Yeah, I don't remember what else I have to say, but I'm sure they'll pop up later. Yeah. So, all right. Well, let's get things kicked off here with Off the Shelf, which Off the Shelf is brought to you once again by Daw Apparel. It's DAW apparel.com. And go check them out. They've got tons of t-shirts, but in particular, they have Drunk on Comics t-shirts.
Really?
Yeah.
How can I get one of those?
Well, you go to DawApparel.com and remember to put in the code DOC20 and you'll save 20% off your entire order.
Even stuff that's not Drunk on Comics?
Even stuff that's not Drunk on Comics.
That is a steal.
No, it's not, because you still pay. You still pay some.
That is a deal.
Yeah! Steal would be theft. And I don't know how you... I don't know how you can
steal clothing from an online
store. That'd be impressive. But anyway, yeah, go check them out. Buy one of our t-shirts, wear it proud, and if we see you walking around with it, we'll like give you a high five.
Yeah,
yeah, and we'll take a picture with you.
Maybe even give you a hug.
Yeah, yeah.
Who knows where it could go from there?
It you never know. You could end up being in a polygamous relationship with all four of us. So, all right, Tony, what did you read this week?
I picked up Silver Surfer number 3. I picked this up only because I heard of a joke that was in it that made me curious.
Wait. So before we go, you love Silver Surfer. Did you stop? Were you going to stop reading it?
Yeah, I did. I picked up number 1. I even reviewed number 1. And I did not pick up number 2 because we're on 3 now, so yeah. I got 1, 3, but not 2. I just, there's something about the story that was a little jarring from what I love of Silver Surfer. He didn't feel like he was the cosmic, supreme, badass surfer dude. It felt more sticky, I mean, I don't know. I mean, you have that ladybug-looking girl, you know, do you remember me reviewing it?
And yeah.
Just, it felt like it wasn't a Silver Surfer tale, but just, it's been getting great reviews online, and people have kind of said, you know, they either love it or hate it, but some of the people just say, hey, it's something totally different. You should really check it out. And I'll get to what I thought was probably one of the most funniest things in comic book history a little bit later. So because of that, I don't really know everything that happened in number two, because obviously I didn't read it. But this picks off showing, now I'm forgetting the cosmic guy, Eternity. You know what I'm talking about? The giant,
No.
Looking, okay. Well.
I know Galactus.
Okay, Galactus is nowhere near because Norrnrad is free. Anyways, the Empyrecon, the world that anything was possible, was being... And see, this is part of it, too, where it's kind of whimsical. They're kind of just making up things and words. It's being run by the heart, the Never Heart of the Queen, Never Queen. And so that is allowing any possibilities to happen. Like I said, it's abstract on their thoughts. I'm confused
because I don't understand how anything can happen when it's the never.
Because never, it's never impossible.
No, that'll never happen.
I'm pretty sure they probably explained it in number two, and I was a bit lost. However, Ladybug Girl was kind of not creating a riot, but helping all these prisoners escape, these people that were captured by Zed, the leader of the Empyrecon. And Norrnrad was then sent to go not only rescue her, but also to get the heart out of there to pretty much save this cosmic entity. And during the way, runs into things, and they really don't seem to have... So they, from the first issue, she didn't meet Silver Surfer, because she's just now meeting him, not knowing who he is, really. So that nothing... probably happened in issue number two that was important for their love life or whatever it is. I still can't get over, though, that she's wearing that polka-dotted shirt. And in all the flashbacks of showing her and her sister, they're wearing those same shirts, just like in the first issue. And I don't know if that has to have some symbology, but it's very jarring when you're thinking... this girl can only dress in the same fucking dress her entire life.
Well, I don't know. I mean, look at Scooby-Doo. Those kids never changed their clothes. They traveled the whole fucking country with one outfit.
Why, I tell you, Shaggy. Or Scooby. Because I'm Shaggy.
That is a terrible fucking impression. You can check that one off the list.
Let's go get high and eat some Jell-O pudding pops.
Actually, This has nothing to do with your review, but it does have to do with that, and could actually be news later, but Casey Kasem died.
Yeah, and a lot of people didn't know he did Shaggy.
Yeah. Anyway.
Rest in pieces, Casey! Kasem!
That is terrible. See, now that wasn't bad. Yeah. Anyway.
Going back to my review. So they eventually find the heart. There's a couple cool key things in here when you learn that this Zed guy has this sword, which is called the Edge of Reality. I mean, that's just kind of a badass name for this sword that pretty much can tear through the fabric of space and time. Eventually, Silver Surfer finds the heart, and they're going to return it. Now, going to some of the dialogue within here is what really killed it. Now, like I said... we aren't people to kind of nitpick things, but I think Dan Slott and Mike Allred did a pretty decent job of trying to tell this story, which isn't necessarily my cup of tea of Silver Surfer, as I've said. But some of this dialogue and the interactions that they made was great. When they're finally taken off to go return the heart, and they're in the middle of space, Ladybug Girl is holding her breath. Her name's Dawn, by the way, but she will forever be known as Ladybug Girl. She just holds her breath, and Silver Surfer kind of says, you can breathe. And she goes, how are you talking, Power Cosmic? How are you breathing, the Power Cosmic? How am I not freezing, Power Cosmic? She goes, that's kind of convenient. And that's the Power Cosmic. And I'm like, That was just some really funny dialogue. But the reason why I picked up this book to review was when he's asking her at the end, they save, you know, everything, and asked if you're ready to go on next adventure. She goes, yeah, it's just going to be you, me, and Toomey. And he goes, Toomey? Who's Toomey? Well, you're bored. You know, you always say Toomey, or Toomey bored. So she named his board Toomey.
That's actually kind of cool.
Yeah, and he's just like kind of lost, like, oh my gosh, you don't even understand what I've been saying. But so now Silver Surfer's board is forever be known as Toomey.
That's not bad at all.
That made me die laughing. So that is the big reason why you should pick up this issue, if for nothing else than the secret origin of Silver Surfer's board's name.
Toomey.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, cool. Well, I got a brand new book. It's a number 1 of 8 from Boom Studios. I've got Thomas Alsop. And this is written by Chris Miskiewicz. And art is by, and I don't know how to pronounce his first name. It's Palle, or actually it could be a girl. I don't know. Palle?
Yeah, sounds Palle.
Yeah. Last name is Schmidt. So this is a really, really interesting book. It opens up, in 2011. And then later on, it jumps back in time to the first settlers in America. But the basic setup and idea of this story is that you've got a guy by the name of Thomas Alsop, and I guess one of the things that caught me first on here is he's a blogger. So I was like, oh, okay. Like, you know, I felt a little bit of connection with him because it's like, you know, we do our shit and we go on online and try and talk to people and have conversations and bring stuff to them. We go, okay. And then there's really not much else that ties us in because he is known as the Hand of the Island. And basically what it means is it was years and years ago when his family had first settled in America, in Manhattan, they had been bestowed powers or cursed, depending on how you want to look at it, that the oldest man of the family is given powers, and he is basically the protector of Manhattan.
Who cursed them?
Well, it was actually some Native Americans, where, you know, it's like, I don't really know if it was a, like, they say it was a curse, but then as I'm kind of reading it and they show it, it's almost like it was, the powers were given to him, not
as a protector, not as a
yeah
mean thing.
Yeah. So he protects the island, the oldest Alsop will protect the island against all sorts of demonic ills that want to come upon the land. And so Thomas is basically a supernatural detective, almost. And the way that he finds out that things are going on is the island talks to him. He hears a voice. And basically, the voice will say, you need to go over here. Something's going to happen. You need to address it. Similar thing with the flashbacks when you see his great-great-great-grandfather or whatever it may have been fighting there. You know, the island tells him what it wants. And he has to take care of it. So it's a really, really cool story. I like the fact that it jumps back and forth.
Did you say it's only the males? The oldest males?
Yep.
So obviously it probably hasn't gotten into what happens if it's a girl or if they even really care to throw that in there. The yeah. lineage of if they die or...
Yeah, I don't know. It hasn't gotten into that yet. It might. There's 7 more issues. But this was a really cool book. And I got to say, the art by Schmidt here, very, very nice looking art. It's I'm assuming that this art was colored digitally only because of the way that that's how pretty much everyone does it. But it looks like watercolor. And it's just really beautiful to see that, you know, that kind of work in there. So I would actually love to find out more of how the art itself was done. But the flashback sequences are all black and white with the exception of some red where it's important. You know, that's only a couple panels. But the present, or, you know, the 2011 present, that's all done in colors, and it's, you know, just really, really nice color palette across the entire book. Every page kind of has its own feel.
Kind of jumping off of that, like, not necessarily with this book, but it is something that I am curious sometimes of how the art and coloring has come about. Like, I thought about that last week when I was reviewing Wildfire, and it looked digital, but it just looked like, oh, it looked digital, but it just looked so crisp and different that I wish there was, like, within these books, like, go to this link to learn more of how they decided to lay out the panels and everything, like, because that's very interesting for certain books and different artists.
Yeah. Well, I know when Dead Letters number one came out, and now Chris Visions did the art on that one, I had mentioned on the podcast, you know, that I was curious about, you know, if certain things were intentional and stuff in there, and he shot us a note back because he had heard the podcast saying that, yep, that's exactly what I was going for, and sent a link to his website, his own personal website, where he had those pages on there before the colors went in. So there was the pencils and the inks and then the colors. That was really cool. And so I'm going to go look and see if I can find some of the breakdowns on those pages too, because, and if I can, I'll share them with you later. You know, but yeah, Thomas Alsop was a really cool book. The dialogue by Miskowitz, it was so smooth. You ever just read one of those where it's just like the whole thing just flows so naturally, mm-hmm. where it's like, you're just like, next thing you know, you're at the end of the book and you're like, how did that thing read so fast? Because it's not a short book. But yeah, the dialogue's great, the setup's great, pacing's awesome, art's awesome. This is definitely a 5 out of 5 book, and in my opinion, it was probably the biggest must-buy book of this week. So that's pretty much it.
All right, that's off the shelf.
Yeah, unless we wanted to talk other random bullshit off the shelf.
Well,
I mean, seeing how it's just us today, we didn't really plan on it.
But, yeah.
But I will say, Daredevil is kicking ass. And so, rather than just bring that up at the end, I want to give it, like, you know, 2 seconds on here. It's just a really, really fun book. I like the fact that Matt Murdock is out as Daredevil, and people know it, because people are coming up to him, like, taking pictures with him and stuff like that, and because they know that he's blind, too, they're making faces and shit, like those little girls. But, yeah, the art by Chris Somney in this book was fantastic, as always. And this wrapped up a story where he was going after the Owl, and he was also working with the Shroud. And so we'll see. But the Owl may have gotten himself a new power set in this book.
Okay, I don't know who the fuck the Owl is, but
The Owl was a criminal mastermind. And he was basically Daredevil's first villain.
Was he like evil Batman?
Yeah, except fat.
Okay.
You know, and he has the crazy hair, but he has like little claws.
I can picture him now.
Yeah, he has little claws that shoot out on his hands. I think he is the internet now.
Okay.
So, yeah, he has
Lawnmower Man transport him upside and into the machine.
Yeah, he definitely so that this may be one of those cool issues to have later on where, you know, he it's the second origin story, if you will. So anyway, that was my backup.
All right. One other thing I want to just give a shout out to. The free So you can find this usually at the front counter of your local comic book shop. All New Young Guns by Marvel. Mainly it's just a spotlight of the new artists and writers within, but you turn to the front page and it's our buddy Ryan Stegman. Mm-hmm. So yay, Ryan, who will be at Grand Con this fall.
Yeah, September 19th through the 21st.
Yep.
Yeah. And I guess we might as well spill the beans.
Beans are spilt?
Yeah. No. Or throw the beans. Let's throw the beans down.
Okay.
And we're going to announce, we're going to be back at Grand Con for their second show.
Yep. And
but there's a twist.
What?
There's a twist.
What's the twist?
Only half of us will be there.
But which half?
Dun, dun, dun.
You'll have to go to find out or listen to when we start talking about it, because we can't hold secrets, but...
Yeah. The other half of us, which will be me and Kevin, we're going to be at Cincinnati Comic Expo that same weekend. So if you're anywhere in the Midwest, you have two chances to come see us. And what's even cooler is if you're cooler, you can go to one on, like, say, Saturday and the other on Sunday.
And you can bring a cooler full of beer and share it with us.
Yeah, and you could do that, and it'd be cool. So, yeah, so go check out Grand Con, go check out Cincinnati Comic Expo, and, yeah, you can come see us.
All right, do you got any news? Let's move on to that segment.
We got lots of news. Where to start? You know what? Actually, I want to start with some of the weirdest news that I've heard of. The Florida Department of Citrus is getting a new...
There's a Department of Citrus?
Yes.
The fuck do they do?
Well, they fight against the evils that are anti-citrus. And
yeah, that joke was a squeeze.
Yeah. Well, I tried to juice as much out of it as I could. So, as the Department of Citrus is getting a new makeover from Marvel, reportedly. And I guess it was like $1 million to redesign Captain Citrus from the current rotund creature from the planet Orange into a superhero guy.
For $1 million? Fuck, we'd do it for 10.
Well, and I don't know why, like, shit, just call any artist.
Yeah, they could draw you whatever you kind of were picturing in your head.
Yeah.
All I am just imagining for $1 million is you're going to have an orange in the pose of, like, Superman flying in the air with a cape behind him.
Well, no,
like,
he's not going to be round anymore. He's going to be a guy, is what they're saying.
So an orange-colored guy?
Yeah. Well, okay, now, I guess, though, like, one of the things, though, is that part of this money, Captain Citrus is going to appear in at least one printed comic and two digital sequels, you know, alongside other Marvel characters.
Really? So, like, you will see Captain Citrus with the Avengers somehow, possibly?
Yeah, and at least one printed, so, I mean, it's going to be, like good old pulp fashion, you know, pulp-style comics.
That is just, oh.
What, you don't like pulp?
No, I love pulp. I get the home style every time.
Yeah, it's I just find this so weird, but you know, whatever. It's not going to leave a sour taste in my mouth.
Yeah, maybe he'll be riding on a Bronco.
Riding on a Bronco.
Yeah. OJ Bronco.
Oh wow, wow. Yeah, that's okay.
That's a reference.
Yeah. Not a good one. Do you watch Bob's Burgers?
Yes, I do. I originally was like, to it, but now it's pretty funny. It's grown on me.
Yeah, it's a great show. It's going to Dynamite Entertainment to be an actual monthly book. So,
and that's what it's like. Yes, yay, but sometimes. I feel like it's being flooded, like comic book shops being flooded with not new creativity, if that's the term.
Too many licensed products?
Kind of, which then I won't bitch though, because I love my Turtles and Transformers, But they've been around for...
Turtles I don't count as a licensed product because Turtles was originally a comic book.
Oh, yeah. And actually, technically, so is Transformers. So, those don't count. But everything else, I mean, yeah. We have Adventure Time. We have Powerpuff Girls, Samurai Jack. Angry Birds just came out with a comic book last week, which I flipped through and about puked. It was terrible.
I didn't even look at it. But, yeah, no, I mean, there's... Well, I mean, you've got X-Files, you've got Ghostbusters, you've got, I mean, all those other things.
Well, and like, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with them. It's just, I don't know, try a little harder for something original? I don't know.
I don't know. Something like this, though, I'm cool with. I like this idea more than I do, like say, a Sons of Anarchy or Dexter or X-Files, you know, where it's already a cartoon format. I'm more okay with this. But I will be curious to see how they how they're able to convey the same humor in the book. But it's the thing I liked is that it's going to be multiple short stories. So I think that might
That'd be cool.
At least issue one is, and there's like a couple of them that they listed. Louise's Unsolved Mysteries, a Gene Belcher original musical. And the one that I thought was the funny was Tina's Erotic Friend Fiction. So, which, that one I know was in an episode, so I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm looking forward to it.
All right. Once again, which I thought this pretty much was already settled, but I guess it's not. They're talking about whether making a Hulk movie is going to happen, whether it'd be good or not. What say you? Thoughts?
It won't really matter. Eventually, they'll make one.
Yeah, but, I mean, they've made, what, one, two?
Two.
Okay, only two? Shit, I thought there was three.
Well, if you count Avengers as being a Hulk movie, which you can't, although Hulk stole the fucking show.
Yeah, and that's where I don't think that it's a gamble anymore. When you're making Guardians of the Galaxy, when you're making Ant-Man... I think Hulk could be a standalone movie. I don't know what... And I don't understand why this is always getting thrown back into the spotlight of news cycles. Oh my gosh, now they're considered talking about it. Oh my gosh, now there's not. When there's not even a script or a thought or a plot. Now, I have my own take on what it should be. And I think that they could make it very, very goodly, but I don't...
Very, very goodly?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. I think, excuse me. I think it could work, you know, but, and I don't know why the first two really didn't, but, you know, we'll see. You know, it's always something that's getting discussed, but, speaking of licensed properties, Tony, G.I. Joe is, being, relaunched as a new volume over IDW, and it's just kind of cool because there's a girl by the name of Karen Travis who she's done some novels in the past, primarily military and science fiction stuff, but I think this is going to be her first time doing a comic book, and it's going to be illustrated by Steve Kurth. So that's just kind of a little bit of news that'll be coming out here in September, so not too long.
All right, and something that we had mentioned before, kind of rumor mongering, was the nearing the end, the beginning of the end of the Ultimate FF, and Joshua Falkoff has pretty much gone to Twitter, kind of saying that it's going to end after issue 6, which is a really short run for a book that was going on for
six issues.
No, but, I mean, overall, you know, Ultimate, you know, Fantastic Four has been one of their staples of the Ultimate world since the inception. Is that the correct term? I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay, whatever. Of the Ultimate world. So, this kind of goes back to, is Marvel kind of pushing Fantastic Four to the side? Are they going to start, you know, killing off X-Men like Wolverine? Who knows?
3 months.
Yeah.
3 months. That's all you got, bitches. Other thing that that was ending was the DC Comics Adventures of Superman, which that was the one that was originally going to be written by Orson Scott Card.
Oh, yeah.
And then there was the big stink about that because of his personal views and blah, 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 blah.
So did they ever get it? So what has been out, like, and
it's a digital first comic, and they're canceling it with issue 17.
Okay. So Kevin's going to be upset.
Well, I don't know if he's reading this one or not.
Well, did they already cancel the I don't want to say the kitty one, but the, you know. Yeah, they canceled that one already. Yeah, that was, like that one.
That was forever ago. But yeah, so now other news out there that I thought was interesting, specifically Image Comics, both Rat Queens and Peter Panzerfaust are getting the small screen treatment. So looks like they're going to be heading to TV.
Well, what are those properties about? I am clueless on two.
Rat Queens is kind of a well, actually, here I'll read you what it says. Who are the Rat Queens? A pack of booze guzzling, death dealing battle maidens for hire, and they're in the business of killing all God's creatures for profit. It's kind of a D&D type book. Pretty fun. I read the first few issues. Peter Panzerfaust is one of those that I still kick myself for not picking up when it first came out. Because I just didn't see the first issue. Like, I missed it. And I was one of those guys where if I don't get the first issue, I'm just going to wait and I'll pick it up and trade. And I think that book's probably worth a fair amount now, which sucks. But
yep, that's what I've heard, and it's one of the few books that I kind of look at because I know that you didn't get it, and I kind of giggle inside of, like, that sucks.
Yeah. Peter Panzerfaust is basically a new take on Peter Pan set in Nazi Germany. So that's kind of the, you know, the story there. That's really, really good story. The interesting part is that both of these were created by Curtis J. Wiebe. He was a writer on both of these. So
okay, that's cool.
I don't know if that was, you know, him saying, hey, if you want one, you got to do the other, or if he just happened to have two such big properties out there that they came and said, hey, can we make a package deal, or if the deals just happened independently of each other. I don't know. But I thought it was cool, though, that he's getting two of his books made like that.
Once again, talking about variant covers, DC is coming out with Hello Kitty villains covers, which I honestly, like, for everything we make fun of and sometimes don't understand, or, you know, we say this, I have no fucking clue the appeal of Hello Kitty. Nor for a market that is mainly male-dominated. I'm not saying that women don't read comic books, but we can look at the numbers and know males are the ones that... who would be getting...
I think the last time I saw, as far as, like, you know, total number of readers, now it doesn't say how many books are purchased by one or the other, but it's getting closer to a 50-50.
Okay, and I don't think gender has anything to do with who the fuck likes Hello Kitty at our age, though. Like, I just don't.
Well, this guys, I don't know any guys that do, but, and let's even just say that it is exactly 50-50. Is that 50% of girls, let's say that the girls, how many of them like it? I mean, it seems like such a niche market that I don't see the appeal of it either, or how it's going to... But then again, I'm with you. I don't understand the appeal of Hello Kitty. We've got at least one friend I know that really likes Hello Kitty. We could ask her and see if she could explain it, because she actually has a Hello Kitty tattoo, I think.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Well, we will then go to the other side of the pond, where Deadpool. Yes, sorry. Me can't word right.
It's not in your vocabulary.
Yeah.
And you see how easily I just said that?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fuck you. Marvel's getting a 1 in 52 3D variant cover, and this is straight up a...
poke?
Yes, at DC, which he... I forget some of the other things that he's did before, but there's been quite a few Deadpool variants that have poked fun at DC. And obviously this being a 1 in 52, because there's always 52 of them.
And it's a 3D yeah. variant.
Yes, which they just came out with last fall, whatever time of year that was. But something that begs an even bigger question that we've been uncovering with this is how Marvel, with this book, is going to have a $4.99 price tag, which you've been slowly seeing more and more of those coming up in you know recent time, but going past this, you're seeing Death of Wolverine covers are going to be $4.99, and all these other variant covers that are $4.99. But what we feel is going to be the new standard is $4.99 is going to be what you're going to be paying for a comic book.
I'm going to disagree. Here's my reason for arguing this. The one thing that all these books have in common that are $4.99 is a higher page count. Now, you might see, and I'll put it this way. If I got a 32-page book for $4.99 versus a 20 or 22-page book for $3.99, I'm fine with that. I'll pay that every month. Totally okay with getting more story for less price per page. But...
you go to the Costco way of comic book shopping?
Yeah. I look at a cost per page, you know. Way of doing it. But the reason I'm going to disagree with you on this one is how many times have we seen $6.99, $7.99, $8.99 comics when they're like 100 pages? You know, the Spider-Man number 700. You know, the Deadpool had a $10 fucking book when he got married.
Yeah. But that one, well, I personally got it because I enjoyed it, but that was a one-time kind of deal, though. Like, this, though, I feel...
but they aren't one-time kind of deals because they do them in other books. So what I'm saying is, I'm not so sure that they're going to jump right to the $4.99 thing.
But it's going to start setting the standard of people are paying this, why not? And, let's go down to 28 pages. Let's go about 24. Oh, now we're back to 22 pages. Like, I can see that happening, and this is going to be the start.
I can see it. I don't buy it. I'll admit, I could be totally wrong. I just think that this is jumping in there too fast. But you know what is cool, Tony, is that while Marvel might be trying to charge you $4.99 for some of their books, Image says, nope, you can have one for free, but it's limited time. So when this comes out, there's only going to be about 2.5 days left. But if you have a tablet or use like you know any of those digital platforms to download your books, from now through Tuesday, June 24th, Image has Trees number 1 available for free download.
So and that's that freaky concept that you reviewed a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, yeah. So if you heard me talk about it and you're like, oh, I don't know, now you can get it for free and you can thank me later because I think it's. Because of the fact that I reviewed it on this show and then we talked about it, that it got so big that Image goes, we got to give it away for free.
Not going to lie, though, there's been a lot of books lately that we have reviewed. Trees, the Woods, Wildfire, that I start kind of get confused of which one was which because they all involve flora.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair enough. Well, and Manifest Destiny. But that's not quite the same as far as the title, but yeah.
Yeah.
That's a different one. What else did you have?
Well, okay, let's go back to my favorite character, Deadpool. I'd seen this last week, but I just love this cover that we need to talk about it. The Marvel is having Hawkeye versus Deadpool coming out this fall. And Deadpool has already kind of been on a trip so far. He's fighting Carnage right now. He's next slated to start fighting... X-Force, Deadpool versus X-Force, and now he's going to have Hawkeye versus Deadpool, which could be fun, but the cover is just fucking genius.
Yeah, he's got the Nerf bow and arrow thing going on. It's a good cover. I'm sick of Deadpool.
Well, here's the thing, though. They're killing off their second biggest person, Wolverine, so you need to have this other
who's
character.
Who's their first biggest person?
Wolverine.
Well, you said they're killing off their second biggest person.
Oh, I meant to say they're killing off their biggest, and okay. This is their second, as they always joke, who's in more comic books, Deadpool or Wolverine. Now they're kind of milking Deadpool for what they can have, until the eventual comeback of Wolverine, where he will then fight Deadpool versus Wolverine.
And hopefully kill Deadpool. I'm just tired of, like, you know, and it's, the creators that are working on the Deadpool books are doing a good job, but it's like, stop it.
Well, Wallace's saying stop it. Like, have these come out a little less frequently, like once a year, and I'd be totally being able to enjoy them a little bit more than stop milking all the creativity out of all these right now.
Well, like,
he's versing everyone.
Well, you know, when it was Deadpool Kills the Marvel Universe, that was great. But then it's like, they came out so fast, you know, and like just started doing more and more. And I'm like, I need a little break. You know, that's me. So, one last thing I saw is that this is kind of an interesting crossover because you've got Django, you know, which is owned by DC, and Zorro, which is owned by Dynamite. They're going to have a crossover.
Comic. It's always great when there's two publishers that have crossovers because it gets a lot of fans talking from both sides that may not have read the other's books. And it usually turns out to be a very good crossover.
Yeah.
Like, events within certain publishers are hit or miss, but these, I've never seen one where two publishers have come together and no one's been like, wow, that was not good. It's always good.
Captain Citrus and Marvel? Yeah. So, all right, that was all I had. Tony, did you have anything else in your news bucket there?
Well, one thing I wanted to quick mention this, too, is Quentin Tarantino is the one that's looking to be writing this. So, you don't like him?
Move on.
Okay. Oh, is that why he neglected to say it?
Yes.
Okay, last bit that I have, Rosario Dawson is joining Daredevil on Netflix. Don't know who she's going to be. She's not going to be a main person. She's going to be a key guest star. So who do you think she could guest as?
Typhoid Mary.
I could see that.
Uh-huh.
You think that's how it's going to go down?
No. I wish. But that's my best guess. I think she would do fantastic as Typhoid.
I think she could, too. Get the frizzy weird hair going and...
Yep. Well, and there's so many different versions of her, but I'd love to see, like, more of that John Romita Jr. 1980s style version of her. The fishnet stockings and... You know what I mean? Hell, it's half the costume that she was wearing in Sin City anyway.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was picturing.
You know, just gotta give her the longer hair. But yeah, I think she could do it. And I think... See, the character of Typhoid Mary is somebody that I would really like to see brought to screen. Because I don't know how familiar you are with her character, but she's actually a schizophrenic.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got the regular, everyday version of her that doesn't know about the bad Typhoid Mary, but the bad Typhoid Mary knows about the good, innocent part. And Daredevil was dating the innocent part.
Isn't there three parts to her, too? There's Bloody Mary, Typhoid Mary, and Mary?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. Might have to Google that, but...
That may have been something later on. Because, I mean, I did take a break from comics for about a decade. You know, so I'm... But I'm back, bitches. So,
back just in time.
Yeah. Gotta go back in time. Yep. Just gonna work the hell out of that one. All right. Well, that does it for news and notes. What else we got, Tony?
Well, I got Indie Turnpike this week. Written by Kieran Gillen, art by Jamie McKelvey, colorist Matthew Wilson, and it is The Wicked and the Divine, which I just want to say, this book was a pretty thick book. Yeah. And it was only 350. That is a steal in and of itself. Also, no pages that were wasted. There were no advertisements within it. Another thing of, you got a very solid book. Plus, there's a couple different variant covers. I see you got the Lucy one like I did.
Yeah.
This book in and of itself, when I was reading it, it drew me in. I was just so hooked by, and I realized while reading this what it is. Anything to do with gods, I'm like all about it. God is dead. Can't stop raving about that. Thor, fucking amazing. So having a concept of gods coming back and being in human form every 90 years kind of, you know, satisfied my need of godhood, I guess.
Is it that you are enamored by gods, or you want to be one, or?
It's the mythology, the theology. I think back when I was, before collecting comic books or anything, I'd always go to the library and get, like, the old Greek mythology books that had, like, Zeus and this and that, because I just thought those were very interesting, take-you-out-of-this-world type books that they're fake, but who knows, they're real to some people, and gods walking on Earth are real to some people, not to others, and to each their own on their religion, but it's something that's a little more based within, I guess, reality than having a Superman flying around. Because it's hard to explain, especially through a microphone, concept of religion and theology on such a short time. But for me personally, I feel like this could happen. You know, say what you want, but the story is just fucking wicked killer anyways. So you have them talking about how they're going to come back, and then they are come back as rock stars.
Mm-hmm.
And I picked up the cover only because I kind of thought that the person looked kind of cooler than the other cover. And you find out, though, that's Lucy. Lucy, short for Lucifer.
Mm-hmm.
And, fuck, I know there's Baal. I know there's a couple other. I can't remember all the gods' names that are within this rock group.
Sakmet was one of there who looks...
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Who looks exactly like Rihanna.
Yep.
I was like, whoa.
So, and the Amaterasu was another one. I'm not pronouncing these gods' names right.
Amaterasu?
Yes. Well, that sounded a lot better than me. But I'm enjoying the story of them getting interviewed and this person being like, you know, fuck this shit. You're really telling me that this is who you guys are and whatnot. The pacing is great. The dialogue between it is great. Lucy just kind of getting pissed off at this bitch, being like, no, hold it. Fuck the cat girl.
Sakmet.
Yeah. Following the red dot. And then the guns blazing and the fucking explosion when you snap your fingers.
Yeah.
So much in here that you're following... Oh, fuck. Now I'm going to forget her name. Who is the main chick that was going to the concert? The 17-year-old girl.
Damn it, I can't remember her name. Just continuing on.
But yeah. You're thinking she's going to be integral to this story or the key to what's going on, but kind of find out, no, Lucy's kind of the center of this book in and of itself.
The girl's name was Laura, by the way.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, simple name. But obviously, she's going to probably be a driving force within this story of probably explaining who these people are. Definitely glossed over everything about what's going on. Why do they come back every 90 years? You know, what was with the first seance that they had in the beginning and then they destroy themselves? What are they doing here as rock gods,
yeah,
pretty much? And ultimately, why were those people trying to not only kill them, but how do they fucking make people's heads explode?
When they snap their fingers.
Yeah. Like, kind of badass power, I mean, in a way. But then you see them in a courtroom, and Lucy just being a badass bitch. And I'm just enjoying this character, this kind of David Bowie, androgynous type looking rocker. And when she fucking makes that judge's heads explode.
But she didn't.
But she snapped her fingers.
But she didn't do it. And she even says, I didn't do that.
I know, and that's...
Now, she is the devil, so she could be lying. I think it's Laura.
Ooh, it could be. Mm-hmm. But look at that brain splatter, man. That is just fucking a wicked...
With the eyeball?
Yeah, and the tooth, and... God, the art in here is just amazingly good.
Jamie McKelvey is at the top of his fucking game with this book. I mean, hands down. Actually, the one page that I kept...
The fucking... The eye shadow around Asmaratu... Like, yeah. A girl.
Yeah. The other one. No, but the double page spread where you see Laura going into the concert, you know, that's just, that one I just kept coming back to over and over and over again. But, yeah, I really liked this book. You know, and it's interesting. Like, the dialogue in here was really, really well done. In order to try and explain these characters, I thought that when they're interviewing Amaterasu and she's like, I'm not Hazel anymore. I'm not this girl from, you know, whatever small town where, you know, my parent, you know, she's like, and I liked the line in here where Kieran Gillen has her say, my story must continue. My story must end. I was like, wait, those are two different things, but not really. You know, not when you're looking at it from a God standpoint. So, yeah, it was a really, really good book, I thought, overall on here.
Yeah, and I, just the concept alone, like I said, hooked me. Even if they weren't gods and this was just a book about some rock chicks that had some powers, though, still fucking phenomenal. Mm-hmm. And I think even... The back page, I didn't read it until I had it at home, pulling out my stack from my bag and being like, wait, what book is this? And the back page, maybe we don't want to scare the shit out of you, Lucifer. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, that's just a fucking awesome quote. And as what me and Matt have said that we love about Kieran is him writing the letters and thoughts within the back of his book sometimes to give you a little better in-depth, which... really helps, especially with this book, to kind of understand what they were thought of while making this. And hands down, probably one of the best books I've picked up in a while.
Yeah, it was definitely a cool one. So, what else we got left here, Tony?
You got Booze in a Book this week.
I do. Booze in a Book this week is some beer actually that my cousin. Got me last weekend. We had the unfortunate reason of getting together due to a loss in our family, but it was very nice to see the family. And one of the great things about my family is that the three boys on that side, we all really like beer, and so there was a lot of beer trading going on, you know, which was great. And so I brought beer from Michigan. You know, obviously, and we were down in Ohio, so we got Ohio beers down there, and then my cousin brought a beer from Indiana, and it's from People's Brewery, or People's Brewing Company, I should say, and they're in Lafayette. The beer I caught was called Procrastinator, and it's an American-style amber, but it's fairly hoppy, and it's... for an amber, it's fairly hoppy. It's got a 36 IBU, and the alcohol by volume is 7.2%. So it's definitely got a little extra kick there. I'm pairing Procrastinator with all the other books that I didn't quite get to this week. Because with everything going on with the family and all that, it made for a little bit longer week. And it's just one of those where I get around to some of them, you know, when I will.
A little less booze in a book, more or less a Drunk on Comics podcast plus booze because we're the procrastinators.
Well, this week I'm not when it comes to this stuff, I'm not normally a bad procrastinator, but yeah, so you know, I'm pairing it with Elektra, Uncanny X-Men, The Last Broadcast. Because those are the books that I didn't read yet.
Son of a bitch.
What?
Translucent came out?
Yeah.
Oh, they didn't have it when I was there. Ugh.
You know, Tony, there's this thing called the pull list.
I know, and so many books that I think I've asked to be on my pull list that aren't, and then some that are that I'm like, oh, I don't want that anymore.
Yeah.
I'll have to make sure I double.
It was fucking good.
Fuck you.
So yeah, I guess that kind of,
Yeah. What's your last call there, Derek?
Well, actually, my last call brought to you by InkWhiskey.com. If you guys have not seen these Nintendo cartridge flasks yet, go to InkWhiskey.com and check them out. They're fucking cool, and they're only $20, and they're free shipping. And you can have one like us, and you can be cool like us. Last call, The Punisher, number 7. That one I did read. It was cool. Loki Ragnarok and Roll, number 4 of 4. That finally wrapped up there. And actually, this is one that I still have to get to. So, I haven't even... This is the first time I'm peeking at it here and in there. But awesome art by Jerry Gaylord on that. And the writing by Eric Esquivel has been cool. The last one then was Twilight Zone Annual. So,
and people should go pick up the trade paperback.
Yeah, they definitely should, because there's some website on the back quoted on it saying how good that book is. It's like drunkoncomics.com or something like that.
Never heard of those fuckers.
Yeah, but...
The only other two that I got to, because I kind of was a procrastinator this week as well, was Iron Man number 28 and then Original Sin number 4, which I'm sure next week we'll probably have some seasonal brews to fill readers, in on what's going on sin-wise.
Hey, I haven't sinned enough lately.
We can remedy that.
No, I've already been remedying it while we've been recording. I've been, I guess that technically drinking, is drinking a sin?
No, that's, it's the nectar of the gods.
Yeah, actually, this goes fitting with our Captain Citrus, because I've been drinking Schilferhofer, and it's a grapefruit Hefeweizen. So,
I would, it sounds shared, delicious.
I would have shared some with you, but it's too good to share.
Thanks, dickhole.
Isn't that just the pee hole? Or is it dickhole where you... Never mind. That pretty much does it for me.
It does it for me, too. I should go start reading some more of these so I can get caught up before next week.
Yeah, work on your vocabulary.
Yeah, shut the fuck you. All right, listeners, you keep reading your comic books, and we'll be back to you next week to talk about them then.
Happy anniversary, bitches. I'm a luck man up in flames. Down to down, I'm the one to blame. I think it's time for things to change. Don't deserve another chance. So leave it in your hands. Is this what you had planned? If you want me to go, I'll go anywhere. If you want me to stay, I'll stay right here. If you want me to be, I can be everything you need. Turn myself to remember you, but I guess I just forgot to. Now on, I'm all about you. If you want me to.